He wasn't there last week.
Last week?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess we read it. Okay, the shiur this morning. The shiur this morning is sponsored by. Okay, commemorating the art site of Elia Rosner's father, Erwin Rosner, and Yitzchak Isaac Ben Shmuel. Alright, we are starting on Chav Chesamid Aleph, Chazayin and Bey's last two words, Amar Rabba or Rava. That's going to be a consistent theme. It's not going to matter to us too much about whether this is Rabba or Rava speaking. But one way or the other, the Amora, Rabba or Rava, says the following important line is going to take us mostly down the daf. Shama miktsas tekiya bebor, or miktsas tekiya sasabor. What if you hear a part of the sound inside a bor? Now the premise, of course, is what it said in the Mishnah, that if you are listening to the sound of the shofar in a bor, or from a bor, then if you hear the echo, the reverberations of the sound, that doesn't count. But if you hear the sound straight, so then that does count. And what the question here is, what happens if the sound of the shofar, let's say it lasts, I don't know, 3 seconds. So some of it I heard bibor, and some of it I heard outside of the bor, al-sfasa bor. And Rashi says that the premise here, the assumption here is that I'm out of the bor, and the shofar blower is inside, and the shofar blower is blowing, and he's ascending out of the bor. And so some of this tkiya was not going to count for me because it was the echo sound. And some of it is going to count for me. So the question here is, what happens if I hear a sound of a shofar and part of it doesn't count and part of it does count? Can I say, well, let's just pretend I only heard the good part and I'm yotzei? That's the premise. That's the question. And Rabba or Rava says, yes, yotzei. Says yotzei. However, what happens if miktsas tekiya kodem sheyalo amid hashachar, or miktsas tekiya liachar sheyalo amid hashachar? What if the person hears some of the sound before dawn, before amud hashachar, alos hashachar? And it's very clear that alos hashachar is the dividing line between laila and yom. So mitzvos hayom, like shofar requires yom, and it's ma'akiv. So if you hear the shofar sound b'laila on Rosh Hashanah, that doesn't count for anything. And what happens if the sound of the shofar starts before Alos HaShachar and it continues to after Alos HaShachar? It would have to be a good long blast. So not all that clear exactly how precise they were, but in any case, let's imagine theoretically that you could arrange this, that the sound of the shofar was partially before Alos HaShachar, which doesn't count, that it continues past Alos HaShachar, where it will count. Then the question is, does that shofar sound count? And it says here, no. Miktsas tekiya kodem sheyalo amid hashachar, miktsas tekiya liachar sheyalo amid hashachar, lo yatza. So Abayi says to him, whether it's Rava or Rabba, Abayi would have access to him, he would say, what's the difference? Ma'ishna hasam de bayina kula tekiya bechiyuva veleka, achanai bayina kula tekiya bechiyuva veleka. You understand, why, what's the difference? Why is the pre-alos hashachar portion of the tkiya going to ruin the post alos hashachar portion of the tkiya, but the sound of the shofar, which was from a bor, which is the echoing sound, why doesn't that ruin the portion of the tkiya that's valid outside of the bor? Gemara answers, this is Rava or Rabba talking. Hachi hashta, what kind of a question I ask you? What kind of a comparison is that? Hasam Laila Lavzaman Chiyuva Hu Klal. The Laila portion of the sound, it just doesn't count as a shofar sound. It just doesn't count as anything. It's not as Man Chiyuv. Hacha Bor, but this when the sound that the listener is hearing from coming from the Bor, that sound is a valid shofar sound. It's just that it's confused among other sounds. So I can't resolve the shofar sound out of the sounds that I'm hearing. So, but it's not a psul in the sound. just doesn't count for me. But if he keeps going and then I'm able to resolve the sound because he comes out of the bore, then that sounds fine. That's what the Gemara answers. Ha bor makom chiyuvahu. We yosed homnim bebor anyway. The people in the bor, it says that they are yotzeh. That was the last sugya on the bottom of Chazayin and Mabez. The people in the bor are able to be yotzeh. So now, that was the statement of Rava. The Rava has the statement that if he hears part of the tkiya sound from the bor and part out, he's yotzeh, as opposed to if it were pre-alos ha-shachar to post-alos ha-shachar, that same sound cannot be divisible. It cannot be divided into a no good sound that I ignore and a kosher sound that I use. So we're going to explore that concept, the concept of taking a long sound and breaking it into parts. So let's see what it says here. Lememra, does that imply, or that seems to be saying, the Sava Rabba, that Rabba holds, on the Girsa, that this is Rabba talking, that Shama Sof Tkia Belo Tchilas Tkia Yatza. Let's say the person is running in late to shul, and they're in the lobby while the Baal Tokei is blowing a long sound, and then he quickly opens the door and he comes in, but he only heard part of that sound. They didn't hear the initial bit of that sound. So does that listener get the credit for that sound? Or does that sound not count? It says here, well, it seems to be from what Rabba was just saying, that I would be yotzei by only hearing a part of the sound of the shofar. That's what it seems like. L'meimer d'sava rabba, shama sof t'kiel below t'kielas t'kiel yatza. Umi meila, the reverse. Shama t'kielas t'kiya, and then I ran out of time. He kept going as a t'kiya gedola, and then I run out. So then, okay, the below sof t'kiya, that would also be yotze. But let's see if that really can be true. Tashma, let's see what the earlier sources have to say that will have bearing on this question. Tashma, taka barishona mashach bishniya. That was the point that was raised earlier. What happens if it was one long tekiah sound, let's say, umashach bishniya, and it is long enough to count as two separate sounds. Kishdayim. So the question is, well, I needed that as like the end of my Tkiya Shvarim Tshur Tkiya and the beginning of the next set of the Tkiya Shvarim Tshur Tkiya Shvarim Tkiya, whatever. So can I get credit as two sounds? In other words, can I visualize as if I've heard a Sof Tkiya and a Tchilas Tkiya because it was long enough to count that way. And we were told no. Ein b'yadav ala achas. You don't get to treat it as two separate Tkiya sounds. V'yamai. But why? Theoretically, he could have walked out in between, and then that would have counted as beginning of the. That would have counted, you know, as a sufficient tkiya, even without hearing the remainder. And he could walk in the middle of a tkiya sound, and that'll count as a tkiya sound. So why don't I get to split it into two? Gemara says, yeah, but that's not fair. Gemara asks, "Why?" Tzal gabitarti. Gemara says, "Napsuke tkiya sami adadi lo paskina." You don't get to do that. You don't get to take a single sound and treat it like it's two separate sounds. Okay, the exact logic and the principle over here, I think it intuitively it makes sense. It's going to be somewhat harder to rigorously define the parameters of this principle. But we understand the concept. And the concept is that if there is one shofar sound, it's going to only count once. The question is whether it counts for you or not. So then we have... You know, you don't have to hear all of it. You can hear even a part of it, but you can't consider it to be two separate sounds. Anyway, Tashma. But let's see. There's another. What else is relevant to this question? Tashma. Atokei l'socha boros socha dus. We saw this Mishnah before. This Mishnah was on the previous Amud. If let's say the shofar sound is into the bor or into the dus or into the pitas. Im kol shofar shama yatzim kol avar shama lo yatza. That was the Mishnah from before. So how is that relevant to us? Let's see. It says that if I hear the reverberations of the sound, then lo yatza. Ve'yamai. But why wouldn't I be yotze? Leipok betchilas atkiya. Mikami deli arbiv kala. Well, before there's a reverberation, there's an initial sound that's not polluted by the other sounds. So why can't we just say like, well, I heard that portion before the echoing effect, so I should be yotze automatically just from the beginning of the tkia. It's not exactly clear why the Gemara thinks that this is really akasha. Obviously, it wouldn't be long enough necessarily to count as a tkia. So, but for some reason, the Gemara is ignoring that consideration, and it considers simply the fact that there was the kol, and it should have at least. Or maybe it should have stated that if it was long enough before the echoing sound to count, and then that should be valid. For some reason, that's not a consideration here. The Gemara just considers this to imply that the initial sound would not count, but it should have counted if you held that a portion of its kiyah is sufficient. The Gemara says, why should you be yotze? Why am I not yotze if I'm hearing the reverberations of the sound? After all, there's always going to be the initial sound that I hear before the pollution. The Gemara answers, that's a good point. And so therefore, we kind of change the whole case. So Rabbah now is no longer saying what we thought he said. Kiko ama Rabbah. We kind of rethink what Rabbah said in the first place. Rabbah in the beginning said that remember the top line, I hear part of the tkiah in the bor and part of the tkiah out of the bor, I'm yotze. So at first we thought that means that the shofar blower was in the bor and walks out, so that the people outside are first hearing an invalid sound and then it becomes valid by him standing outside. We ran into trouble a little bit with that. And therefore, we're revising what that case was. What did Rabbah mean when he said his statement? Kikoama Rabbah, it's okay of the Ola Lenafsheh. We're talking about the blower himself. The blower himself is in the bor, and the blower walks out of the bor. And we're being told that this blower, who is partially inside and partially outside, is Yotze. Gemara says, that's impossible. That can't be what Rabbah's point was. Iyachi Maila Memra. Then he didn't really say anything of substance, because we knew that that was valid. Rashi explains why was that a meaningless statement? Because we already know that the people in the bor are yotze from the sound in the bor, and the people out of the bor are yotze when the blower is blowing out of the bor. So the person who's carrying the shofar, he's in when he's in, he's out when he's out. So there wasn't any point to make by saying if he walks out, he's yotze. The Gemara says, Yachim Elameimah. What did Rabbah say? What did Rabbah contribute that we didn't already realize? Gemara says, "Nah, I'm out of same as zimnin demapik reishav yakati shofar b'bor rekam yarbiv kala." So kamash malan. No, it's not so much that he's saying something revolutionary here. He's just saying this: that if a person is in the bor blowing the sound and comes out of the bor, you don't have to suspect that maybe we should disqualify that sound because of the transition moment. The moment of transition where he's coming out of the bor, well, maybe the shofar is in and his ears are out, and so therefore he's getting that echoing effect. So that is what Rabbah means to say, that he's just, you don't have to worry about that possibility. Now, why don't you have to worry about that possibility is the whole question. Is that because, but what if that is what happened? What if he did go out that way? Then would that really invalidate? So maybe that's what we're saying. Nah, that doesn't invalidate. Or maybe he's saying, that's such a small amount. It's unclear exactly what was going on in the Gemara when it says the Kamash Malan here. All right. If we're serious, incidentally, about this ruling, that we've just changed Rabbah's case from being what we thought it was about hearing the portion of the sound while the blower was inside and then comes outside, and then that leads to the implication that a miktsas hatkiel is good enough, but now we've moved away from that interpretation of the law, and that Rabbah never said it that way, and Rabbah never said that it's kosher if you hear some of the echoing and then some of it clear, it's possible that that won't be valid. And that Rabbah won't have authorized a miktsas hatkiyah. And that if you only walk into shul halfway through, that might not count. You may, in other words, we don't have the evidence here on this page that that remains lamaskana. That might actually have only been temporarily assumed to be valid, but then it gets thrown out once we reversed, once we revised the case of Rabba. And you'll see that there isn't any maramakam to a psak that accepts a portion of the tekiah. I don't remember what it says in Shulchan Aruch on this bit. Okay, Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda now has, now we're going to explore a whole bunch of interesting other possible problems. Incidentally, Rav Hai Gaon is quoted as saying that the whole business with the blowing in the boar and in the cave and everything, Rav Hai Gaon says that these are not very common situations, not realistic situations, but they were historically, they were situations that people at one time had to contend with because of religious persecutions, that they were trying to blow shofar in hiding, and that they found themselves in all of these kinds of peculiar situations in an attempt to try to blow on Rosh Hashanah in private. Don't exactly know how blowing in a cave is going to be private, but that's the way he describes what was going on over here. Okay, so new issue. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda the Amora says, Shofar shel ola lo yiska. You don't use the shofar from an ola, korban ola. Now, Rashi just says the case is that they removed the horns of the ola before they makriv the korban. The yimtaka yatsa. But if you did, you're yotze. Don't do it, but if you did, you're yotze. Don't do it. Not allowed to do it. Why not? Why not? Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda the Amora says, "V'shofar shel shlamim though lo yiska v'yimtaka lo yatsa." So what's going on over here? So presumably what's going on is the following: that we're working on the assumption that you had no permission to utilize the shofar because it was hekdesh. And an object of hekdesh, you as a hedyot are not allowed a binana from that. And that's an iser me'ila. That's called me'ila. The crime of me'ila is when you nehana from hekdesh. So it says here you're not allowed to use it because that'll be a violation of me'ila. But then why does it say imtaka yatsa for the ola, but bishlamim imtaka lo yatsa? The Gemara is going to say why. It says here, well, here's why. Because ola bas me'ila hi. Now the expression bas me'ila doesn't mean what I just, the usage that I just gave before. Me'ila is referred to on the one hand as the crime of utilizing hekdesh. That's one usage of me'ila. But the technical jargon of me'ila involves the following, that the Chumash describes that if you do bishogeg, violate me'ila on certain kinds of hekdesh, then you have this very interesting condition where the hekdesh disappears. It's yotzei lechulin. So that consequence, the fact that right after your moel, or as you're being moel, or as you begin to be moel, the hekdesh is gone. Now it's not hekdesh anymore. So the Gemara here says, well, think about what that'll mean for the shofar situation. It says here, the ola is a bas me'ilahi. It's something that is subject to me'ila. And the reason that there's a difference between the ola and the shlamim, Rashi explains, this is based on the pasuk. The pasuk says, v'chata b'shgaga mikadshei Hashem. Pasuk says, kadshei Hashem has the connotation of kadshei kachim, not kachim kalim, not low-level kachim. And shlamims are kachim kalims. So they don't have this property that if you use it and you're moel, it's going to be yotzi l'chulin. But kachim kachim, like olas, do have that property. So it says here that if you use the ola, the shofar of the ola, as soon as you start to utilize it, then kiven de moel ba nafka l'chulin. Then once you started to use the shofar, that moment that you use it, it's no longer hektish, so now it's chulit. So now that's why you're yotze. That's why it says, the shofar shel ola emtaka yatza. You violated the crime of me'ila, but the consequence of the yotze lechulin makes the mitzvah count. But the shlamim, that one is going to remain hektish throughout, and therefore it's lav v'nei me'ilin in hu, and there isurahu derachiv behu velo nafku l'chulin. So it remains an isur, and the isur that you're doing is kind of you're in standing violation of the isur me'ila, and that's why you're not yotze. Why aren't you yotze? It still didn't explain. So then why aren't you yotze? So you're an avarian. So what's the reason that you're not yotze the mitzvah? It must be mitzvah b'avera. It must be that this is a blockage of the mitzvah as a result of mitzvah haba ba'avera. That's what's going on. If you try to do a mitzvah that's haba ba'avera, then the mitzvah doesn't count. We say that in here and there. We're going to see a lot more on the page over here with respect to that issue. That it applies to very few averos. Lead to this condition, mitzvah b'avera, but gezel is one standard one, and me'ila as a variant of gezel from mekdesh would be under that category. So this is what seems to be going on here in our Gemara. Our Gemara seems to be saying that you can't use hekdesh as your shofar, because that'll be the iser of me'ila behekdesh. But if it's a kachi kachim, then sometimes you'll be yotze, and sometimes not. Tosis makes the point that if you knew it was hektish all along, then that also will block the yotze lechulin, because it's only chata b'shgag and a kach Hashem. The Chumash only says yotze lechulin b'shogeg, but b'mezid it remains kodesh, in which case, if you knew it was a shofar shel ola, then you're not going to be yotze at all, Tosis points out. This is not a lo yitka lechetchila b'b'rievet yotze. This is a lo yitka, because it's a crime, and b'di'evid, meaning if it's b'shogeg b'di'evid, yatza. But if it's b'mezid, then you're still not going to be yotze either, because it's going to be the same as the shlamim case, because it's going to still remain hektish. Maskif l'Rava. So Rava now attacks Rav Yehuda. He says, well, hold on a minute. Emas ma l'basir ataka. He says to him, but hold on a second, I don't see how you could be yotze. Emas mal, exactly at what moment was the me'ila going to remove the hektish from the shofar after you started blowing? Kika taka bisura taka. But then the moment that you began blowing, it was still hektish. So because it's still hektish, then it was be'isir. So I presumably... What's the logic here of the objection? What exactly is he objecting to? You began blowing while it was shel hektish, so it's a mitzvah b'avera for the initial blast. So this, of course, relates to the earlier piece. I guess the Gemara is considering this is more like the pre-alos ha-shachar. If this initial sound was in a psul, not just like in a kol havara maybe, it was a psul. It was a mitzvah b'avera kind of a kol. If that's the case, so then it doesn't help that the psul is removed while the sound is still sounding, and then that'll just disqualify the entire blast. So it's the same as the alos ha-shachar principle, that if the initial blast came while it was be'iser, then that's like it was before the zman, and then that's not going to be rectified by continuing to blow while the iser drops off.
What if the Kohen went ahead and said to you, yeah, you blow?
Kohen's not authorized to... well, that's an interesting... Okay, let's not talk about Me'ila. Me'ila has its own wacky halachos, and that has its own complexity. Once the Kohen is the one who's giving it away to you, then that changes things somewhat. But let's move away from the Me'ila case of this. Just talk about the mitzvah shofar aspect of things. What do you want to say?
Yeah, what are the mechanics? Why is it that that first second it's usher? What's this?
Because of mitzvah b'aver. Because it's a violation of hektish. In other words, it hadn't yet been yotze lechulin until you started to use it. The tchilas yishtamshus is the thing that's making it yotze lechulin, because I didn't have a kavana to be kona. I just had a kavana to use. So until I use it, it was no yotzi l'chulin, and then I have to use it in order to make it yotzi l'chulin, and then but the beginning of the use was while it was still the Easter. So that's what the Gemara is objecting to over here. So he says that he doesn't see how you could how you could be machalik between the Ola and the Shlamim on the basis of the Me'ila Yotzi Lechulin rule, because it'll be like the Tchilas, the initial sound will still be Bipsul. El Amar Rava Echazevachazel Lo Yatza. So Rava seems to say, so based on everything that we've been saying, so it should come out that you're not Yotze at all. But then Hadar Amar, this is pretty interesting. Rava will often rethink his position on things. So Rava now rethinks and he says, you know what? Come to think of it, I changed my mind. Hadar Amar Echaz Echazel Yatza. So now Rava rethought the issue and he decided now you'd be Yotze. In both cases, even though you know that it's a violation of the Yisr Hana. Why? Because he says, because it's not a violation of the Yisr Hana. What is an Yisr Hana proscribe? What does it forbid?
Personal gain.
Yes, a personal gain, some Hana that I get from the object that's Asr Bahana. What if the only thing I got out of it was a Kiya Mitzvah? If that's my whole use out of it, my whole benefit, my whole the only thing that I did that would potentially put me in violation of the Yisr Hana would be the mitzvah. The Gemara says, you know, if that's all it is, then that's not even called being nehenah. Hadara merechetze vechetze yatza, because mitzvos lav lehanos nitnu. Mitzvos are not considered Hanaos for the person who is the Mekayim HaMitzvah. You can Mekayim HaMitzvah, it doesn't count as Hana. The Rishonim point out, look, we believe in Schar Mitzvah, we believe in Schar Nolam Haba, and Schar Nolam Hazeh, whatever, but the Rishonim say, but that doesn't count as violation of Yisr Hana either, because that's too indirect. So if the only Hana that you got was that you were Mekayim there by a Mitzvah, then that does not even count as being Nehana.
Rationalizing
on
mitzvah
b'avera, yeah,
because
right.
Almost every time mitzvah
b'avera. No, this avera is hana. Regular averos, the avera that you did was, I don't know, it was theft. So you can't use the object of the theft. But if the nature of the iser is that I'm guilty of getting hana where I wasn't allowed to get hana, but I didn't get hana. So I didn't do any avera. There was no avera even. Right, so there was no avera even.
But that means, but if that's the case, that you only have to get hana, then let's say you steal a cow,
yeah,
but you don't eat it. So are you really getting hana from the cow?
Yeah, but theft isn't about hana, but me'ila is about hana. So that's the nature of the crime. Like if I don't know, let's say I had, well, we're going to see a couple of other examples. Let's go on some other examples of this phenomenon. That when the type of crime involves not getting hana, and then the only hana that I'm getting is the mitzvah, then that's not called being in violation. It should
stealing a lulav and using it.
Same thing. Stealing is not about hana, but so that is mitzvah b'avera, because it was stolen. It's a stolen object, but this is still a hektish object. But the issue is my fulfillment of the mitzvah coming as a result of my crime of being moel? But if I'm not being nana, if I'm just moving around, I can handle objects of hektish.
His question is good, because he's saying, what if he borrows the lulav?
What if he borrows the lulav?
You borrow the lulav from hektish.
Yeah.
You moel the hektish.
Yeah.
B'shasma, so you're going to put it back. You're not stealing it.
Right, right. That puts us into a little bit more, too deeply into me'ila. If the borrowing is a me'ila where the crime of me'ila doesn't require hana. In other words, there are other forms of me'ila where the nature of the crime is based on a shino yushus, not on a hana. This one, that's why I tried to move away from the Kohen is giving. Let's just only talk about how the only thing I did to it was use. As long as use is the only aspect of the me'ila that we're addressing, so then use is only going to be a crime if there's hana. But if it's, but other kinds of forms of me'ila will confound a lot of these calculations, and so that's true. So in any case, it's also unclear to me. It might be clearer to other people. Maybe it's seen on the page. So then even l'chatchila, maybe, you would be allowed to use the shofar shel ola. It doesn't present it this way. Rav only says that echad zeh yatza, but it doesn't change the, you know, the insistence that you not do it l'chatchila. It's not so obvious to me why not.
Still has to be
with Shogeg. No, because Mazid versus Shogeg only affected whether it was Yotzi Lechulin. But we've bypassed that whole consideration here at this point because we've just said you aren't doing anything that puts you in violation of Me'ilah at all. What's I'm not in violation of Me'ilah? So then what's stopping me in the first place from taking that shofar? I'm not sure. Anyway, so now let's move on to similar cases. This whole daf is a great daf. You could spend countless time just looking into every line of this daf. We have more to go. Still more to talk about here. But okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda b'shofar shel avodah zara. What Rana Rav Yehuda says. Says, what would be the halacha with respect to shofar of avodah zara? What does that mean, a shofar of avodah zara? Shofar that you worship the shofar? So, this could mean a shofar that came off of a sheep that was a sacred sheep that was worshipped. Okay, it could be. Or that the shofar was itself used as a musical instrument in the service and worship of some avodah zara or other. That would be called a tashmishe or mishamshe avodah zara. Okay, could be either of those. Anyway, it says here, lo yiska, you're not allowed to use that shofar, v'yimtaka yatsa. But if you did, you yotze. However, by contrast, v'shofar shel ir hanidachas, lo yiska, v'yimtaka lo yatsa. That's also an unlikely situation, and you don't have the explanation that religious persecutions made this particular scenario realistic. But in any case, Shofar shel ir hanidachas lo yiska, v'yimtaka lo yatsa. What's the chiluk? What's the chiluk between a shofar of avodah zara versus a shofar of ir hanidachas? The Gemara says, "My time, ir hanidachas ki tosi mechtas shiurei." Here's the difference. The difference is that what do you have to do if you're in possession of any object from a verified ir hanidachas that was pronounced to be an ir hanidachas, the halacha requires that all such objects be destroyed, be burned. So anytime you have an object of ir hanidachas that is omed lisareif, then it's, the Gemara says, kitose mechtas shiurei. You have to view that object because it's doomed and because you have a personal obligation, everybody has a personal obligation to destroy the thing and burn the thing up. So then even before you've done that, the thing has to be viewed as having been destroyed to the extent that even though it's functional here and it's real and it's in full object, but we have to view it as kitosei mechta shiurei, that the shiur that's required is not present. It's like it's an amalgam of a whole bunch of little particles. And you can't make a shofar out of assembling a whole bunch of little particles and to blow out of that. That's the way the Mefarshim explain what's going on over here. Wait a minute, so how's that different from the Avodah Zarah case? All the Rishonim have a lot of trouble trying to figure exactly what is the Avodah Zarah case talking about. Because if it's like a standard Avodah Zarah also needs biur in the same way, and it would be the same issue. The Tosfos in Sukkah says that so because of this issue, what you have to say is that the Avodah Zarah that we're talking about over here is the Avodah Zarah of a type where I don't have to destroy it. Well, why wouldn't I have to destroy the Avodah Zarah? Well, it's not Shel Yisrael. It's an Avodah Zarah Shel Goy. But if it's an Avodah Zarah Shel Goy, I still have to destroy it once I get a hold of it. Well, no, because Avodah Zarah Shel Goy can be annulled. You can neutralize the status of Avodah Zarah of an Avodah Zarah Shel Nachri before it comes into Rishus of the Yisrael. It's not even too hard to do that. Just get a goy to deny the validity of that Avodah Zarah or that kind of a thing. And so it's no longer an Avodah Zarah. So if that's the case, the Tosfos says, wait a second. So if that's what's going on, then what's wrong with using it? It says you're not allowed to use the Shofar Shel Avodah Zarah, even though if I did, I'm Yotze. So that's because It's not based on Isser Hana. It's based on the fact that lehekdesh, even Avodah Zarah things that were neutralized, they may become mutter lehedyot, but they are asr legavoa. So even though shofar is not really legavoa, but there are some elements of shofar that we do consider to be legavoa, and the Rishonim say that that's what Rabbi Yehuda was getting at when he said this. Shofar shel Avodah Zarah, don't use it, even if it was a neutralized bit of Avodah Zarah shel akum. So it's what they call ma'us legavoa. So it's asr lechatchila, but okay, imtaka yatsa. He doesn't like you to use it, but imtaka yatsa, but it's not a psul. But here in Idachas, that's a psul because there's no shir. Amar Rava, Rava says a new thing, new rule. Hamuder hana mechave ro. Okay, now this is all back to that same isr hana issue. Hamuder hana mechave ro. What happens if, let's say, you have a person who's not allowed to be nehene? I don't know, let's see. Okay. You're not allowed to be nehene from me. Can I be the shofar blower to be motzi you? Is that called you being nehene from me? Now, we've said earlier, mitzvah slavli hanis nitnu, when you're not being nehene from the shofar. So is that true also about the person who's the blower of the shofar? Rava says, yeah. Same thing. Shofar or person or blower, it's the same thing. It's not, in other words, you're not being nehene. When the only hana is the kiyum ha-mitzvah, that doesn't count as being nehene. That's the principle from before of mitzvos lavli hanas nitnu. And then Rava goes on to give other examples of this phenomenon. The Amar Rava Hamur Hana Mechaveiro Maze Alav Mechatas. Rava says that also same kind of a thing. If for some reason I'm angry at that Kohen and I'm not allowed to be Nehana from that Kohen, but now I need Hazas Para Aduma water, it says he's allowed to be the one to sprinkle the Para Aduma on me as long as that water is not refreshing. That's in Bimos Hagisham. That's in the winter time, but in the summer, he cannot be the one to sprinkle the water on me, because while the tahara process will not count as a hana, but the refreshing water is hana. It's a physical hana. So if there is, incidentally, a physical hana, then that'll be the violation of the hana. Then but not in the summer. In the summertime, that's considered a violation of hana. Same kind of a thing in the next line. Hamudar hana me mayan. Took a neder hana not to be nana from the water of this mayan. Tovil bo tvila shel mitzvah bimos hagishamim. I'm still allowed to use that as a mikvah in the wintertime. Avalo bimos hachama. Because in the wintertime, the only hana that I'm getting is the tahara. But in the summer, I'm getting also the refreshing cooling down from the water. And it never occurred to them that becoming clean would be a hana. Okay, shalchu leili avuad ishmuel. They sent word to Avuah de Shmuel. And this is a little bit unclear exactly what this means. Shalchu leili Avuah de Shmuel. But in any case, the psak went at the time of Avuah de Shmuel, which was a very early Amora level psak. Kafa'o ve'yachal matzah. If they forced him, and he ate matzah at the Seder. Yatza. Because he'll say the mitzvah. That's the ruling. Okay, so if the person was coerced into eating matzah at the Seder, yatzah. Gemara says, what does that mean? Kafo man. Who was the one who coerced? Who was the coercing agent? Ilema kfo shade. What are we talking about? A demon? Or a spirit or something? Okay, that wouldn't have been my first guess. But that, okay, so maybe that was the coercing. That's the Hatanya. But hold on a minute. But that can't be what's going on, because this is a whole other thing, which we have to consider that person to be possessed. And if you're possessed, then we have a whole bunch of rules that are very clear about what the rules are there. Zvatanya, itim chalim v'itim shota, kishu chalim harehu kepikechu chal dvarav, kishu shota harehu kishota l'chal dvarav. If a person is temporarily possessed or temporarily seized by some kind of madness, So then we have the following law with respect to such a person. While they're lucid, they count as bar chiyuv and their mitzvos count. While they're under the effects of the shade of the shtus, then they have a status of a chshota. So if you're coerced by shadim, in other words, you're out of your mind while you're eating the matzah, that can't count as the mitzvah. That's what you did b'shota, b'shdusa. It doesn't count at all. And therefore, if you come out of it at the Seder, at Leil Pesach, you're going to have to eat matzah again because you didn't do it. So Amar Ravashi. So that wasn't it. So that wasn't the point of that law. So if you were coerced, shekva'o parsiim, you were forced by people. I don't know how realistic it was, but maybe. I don't know. I don't exactly know what Parsi doctrine was. Okay. In any case, so that's the point. You're being told the following law. If a person eats matzah under duress, you were not planning, you didn't want to eat the matzah, but it was at the Seder, and it was a kosher matzah shmura, and you ate a kashir, so then you're yotze. So Amar Rava. Rava, many generations later, is saying, well, you understand the implications of this. Incidentally, this was explained, this Kavod Parsim was Ravashi, much later on. I'm a little bit lost in terms of the chronology here. This was a statement of Shmuel's time, first generation, and Ravashi, late generation, Amora, kind of clarified that point, and Rava, in the middle, says, Zoso Meres, Hatokeya Lashir, Yatza. Rava says, you understand the implications of this rule, that if you're eating, you've mekayim mitzvah under duress, that you're yotze, so then it would also follow that if on Rosh Hashanah, a person has a shofar and they're blowing it l'shir, they're just blowing it to practice as a tune, whatever, yotze. The sounds that are valid sounds will count as the kiyum mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah. Even though it's very obvious that this person is not trying to be mekayim mitzvah of shofar, even though it's Rosh Hashanah, the person is Jewish, and it's a shofar, but nevertheless, they don't, in other words, what? Clearly you don't need kavana lekayim hamitzvah. Right. Right. That's clearly the implied by these rulings. Gemara says, Pshita Hainaha. Well, what did Rava contribute? Isn't that obvious it's the same exact thing? Gemara says, not the same exact thing. Maho de same ahasa machul matza amarachmana viho achal. No, maybe it's not the same. The Torah requires eating matzah at the Seder. That's a physical action that you did. So you check. So you've done it. So I could understand a person saying you're yotze that way. Aval, but I could easily understand the following. Acha zichron truak siv. But the Torah and shofar emphasizes that the shofar is supposed to be meaningful. It's supposed to have an effect. And if the person is just incidentally getting the sounds without paying attention to them and without realizing the mitzvah, I could argue, v'hai misastik bi'almahu. So, kamash malan something. So that's why Rava is saying that this would also follow, namely, that you'd be yotze the mitzvah anyway, despite your argument that maybe it shouldn't work. But apparently it does work. Alma kasava Rava. Mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana. So obviously this is the main thing, and this is going to occupy the rest of the page also. Mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana. So mekayim mitzvah. Now what does it mean, ein tzrichos kavana? So pashut pshat is at least it means you don't have to want to mekayim the mitzvah. That's not the full extent of what ein tzrichos kavana really means. It also means you don't even have to be aware that what you're doing is a mitzvah. So if you hold tzrichos kavana, it means you have to at least be aware that what you're doing is a mitzvah. If you hold ein tzrichos kavana, then you don't necessarily even have to be aware that what you're doing is a mitzvah. And that's what we were saying over here. I mean, you were eating matzah because they coerced you. You don't even necessarily even realize it. You didn't necessarily even realize that in Rosh Hashanah you blowing shofar. You're just blowing the shiur.
What about the dibur?
Well, you're not a person who's a bar chiyuv at that time. The Gemara says that if you have a status of a shota, you're a putter from the mitzvah altogether. So things that you do b'ptur can't count for you once you pull out of that hallucination and that you become normal again. Then that's, you can't exempt yourself based on actions that you did while you were putter altogether. That's the point of that split statement. Gemara says here, well, hang on a second. Is it really possible that mitzvah zain tzrichas kavana, and now we start going through, the rest of the page is going to be on, oh, no, no, okay. Half of the page is going to be on mitzvah zain tzrichas kavana. Let's see. Gemara says, Esave, but hold on a second. Hayakori b'tarvi gizmana mikra. What if a person was reading the Torah, and the part of the Torah that he was reading was Shema, and it becomes the Zman, it's the morning, and it's the Zman of saying the Kriya Shema. Im kivein libo, yatsa. This is a Mishnah. If I had Kavana, yotze. V'im lav lo yatsa. Isn't that obvious? So my lav kivein libo latzeis. So doesn't that mean, im kivein libo, to do the mitzvah of Shema, yotze? The Gemara says, no. That's not what it necessarily has to mean. It could mean in the Mishnah, likros. Im kivein libo, likros. If you had in mind, if you put your mind to the reading. Gemara says, what are you talking about? That's the cases that he's reading. The krosok akari. No, the Gemara says, no, I'm not. The kari lehagia. No, I'm reading like we in English use the word kore. Kore as in, I'm reading it, with, I'm scanning with my eyes. But it says here, in kivein libo, means if you were careful to say the words, then yatsa. And that's all it means. But it could still possibly support the argument that the position that mitzvahs ain't tzrichos kavana, as long as you did the mitzvah meticulously. That's the point. If you did it, even if you didn't have kavana, then you're yotze. So that's all that Gemara said. Tashma, haya over achor beis ha-knesses, so shahaya beis ha-samach lebeis ha-knesses, v'shama kol shofar, o kol megillah. Is a new source from the Tanoim. It says, what if the person is on Purim, he hears the Megillah being read in Shul, or he hears the shofar being blown on Rosh Hashanah. Im kivein libo, yatsa. That sounds again, that he needs kavana. Im lav, lo yatsa. My lav im kivein libo, latzeis. Gemara says, no, it means like this. Im kivein libo, lishmoa. Gemara says, what are you talking about? He is shomea, v'hashama. The Gemara says, no, it means like this. Maybe savor chamor bi'almahu. No, maybe he doesn't register the sound. He's not even aware that this sound is a sound of a shofar. But that's all it means. If he's listening and he's aware that it's a shofar sound, then that might be all that's required to be yotzei the mitzvah. Eisevei neskaven shomeya v'lo neskaven mashmiya, mashmiya v'lo neskaven shomeya lo yatsa. We have another source. What happens if you have a blower and a listener on Rosh Hashanah? And the blower has kavana but not the listener. Or the listener has kavana and not the blower, lo yatsa. That won't count. Actually, yiskavein shemeya umashmiya. You need them both to have kavana. So Gemara says, well, let's try to figure this out. Bishlam and iskavein mashmiya v'lan iskavein shomeya. So I understand the possibility that the blower will have kavana, because he knows what he's doing. But the listener isn't necessarily aware of what that sound is altogether. So we understand how it's possible that he could not have kavana. But, because savar chamor b'yalmahu. How can you have a case of the listener is kavana, but the blower doesn't have kavana? What does he not have kavana? What does that mean? He knows he's holding his shofar and he's making sounds. Where it says, so obviously it means he wasn't have kavana lahotzi. So you see a mitzvah with tzrichos kavana. Where it says, no. We could be talking about tokei l'shir. He's just blowing sounds because he's just blowing to entertain himself, but not for the sake of the mitzvah. I mean, I love the tokei l'shir. So he is making the sounds, where it says, nah, dilma kamen abach nevuchi. No, all it means is this. He's not necessarily being particular about what sounds he's making. So when it says kavana of the mashmiya, that just means he's careful to make the right sounds. But not because of the sake of the mitzvah or anything. It's still l'shir. In other words, we're still able to interpret these brises and mishnayos as saying that you need kavana for the physical practice, but not the kavana that goes along with it, not your mindset, not your intention, not even your awareness that the thing that you're doing is a mitzvah. Amalei Abaye says, hang on a second. You understand the serious implications of saying mitzvos lav tzrichos kavana? That means that your incidental actions count as mitzvah actions, so then that can work against you also. Amalei Abaye, elamayata hayoshein b'shmini b'sukkah, yilke, yilake. If a person, let's say, when Sukkot is over, now it's Shemini Atzeres. Now it's so nice outside, I sleep in the Sukkah on Shemini Atzeres. You should get Malkus for that. So it's not exactly clear what the Kasha is. Maybe that's true. But apparently it's not. It's assumed to not be true. But it would follow. Why would it follow? Well, because there's a crime called Baltosif. That's going to be the rest of the Amidah here. Baltosif means you're not allowed to add on to the mitzvah. If the Torah says sit in the Sukkah for 7 days, and you extend that mitzvah to even an eighth day, that should be a violation of Baltosif. And so what if you're just, it's Leil Shemini Atzeres, and you're sleeping in the Sukkah, then you should get Malkus for Baltosif. Aye, but you weren't trying to do Baltosif. But mitzvahs lo tzrichas kavana. If you're holding mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana, then look, if you're going to take credit for it yesterday on Sukkot because you didn't need kavana for the mitzvah, then you're going to have to deal with the consequences today when you're sitting in the Sukkah without kavana also. Amar lo, she'ani omer, mitzvahs...
It's not a mitzvah.
It's worse, it's an avera. But it's an aver because this would be a mitzvah yesterday. And if I can keep going today, then it's an aver to do that. So Baltosif is a funny kind of a crime. It's a crime where if it was a neutral thing, that wouldn't be any crime. It's only because the thing that I did would be a mitzvah. So that's what it's saying over here. Mitzvah, so his answer is, Shani Omer, mitzvahs eina over aleihem ela bizmanon. No, no, no. I hold that there's no such thing as Baltosif after the mitzvah ends. The Gemara says, that's impossible. Masiv Rav Shimon Bar Abba, Rav Shimon Bar Abba, the Amora, attacked him with the following. He says, no, we have too many examples of cases of Baltosif, which are even after the mitzvah is over. Such as, Minayin lekohen she'ola leduchen shelo yomar ho'el v'nosna li Torah rishus levoreches Yisrael losif bracha has mishele. How do you know that a Kohen is not allowed to say, well, once the Torah wants, it cares about my brachos and is telling me to give a bracha to the people, I'll embellish. I'll add additional brachos, such as, Hashem Elokei Avoseichem, Yosef Alechem Kochel Alef Pyamim. Anyway, how do you know that that would be a crime? Talmud Lomer, Lo Sosifu Ala Davar. That's Baltosif. So the Gemara says, well, what is that case? Ha'acha Kiven Debarech. Since once he says the Birchas Kohanim, the mitzvah is over. So if he adds a fourth bracha, that's called a tosafa after the mitzvah is over. So you see that that's called Baltosif anyway. You see that just because the mitzvah is over, it doesn't preclude Baltosif. Mar says, well, how do you know he added the bracha at the end? He added this bracha in between, bracha 2 and 3. The Gemara says, no, because there's a different brisa that's clear. It means siyem. Now the Gemara says, siyem bracha achas. No, there's a third brisa that says, siyem kol berchosav. There's another brisa that's very clear. Even after finishing all the brachas, if he still has a fourth bracha, that's still baltosif. Okay, so you can't get out of that. The Gemara says, well, that's different. Shaini hacha kevin de'el misrami le'tzibur achrina har mevarech, so therefore kula yom ezmanehu. The Gemara says, no, that's, yes, he finished this mitzvah, but the mitzvah of duchening is still active because if another group suddenly assembles and they're going to have a Kohen and they call him, he's going to have to respond, or at least he can respond. It's a bit unclear whether he would be required to respond, but at least he can respond. Therefore, the Zman of the mitzvah hasn't ended, and therefore, it's still subject to Baltosif. But it's not like Sukkot, which when Sukkot is over, it's totally over. Igmar says, that's ridiculous.
It's not so much about the time. It seems to be saying it's about the time, but it's really the fourth bracha. It's not. There's three brachas, not four. It's about the number of brachas. More than
right, but if, let's say right now, I said to you that bracha, is that going to make me a Baltosif? Am I going to violate Baltosif if I give you a bracha outside of the context of Brichas Kohanim? How do you know that the context of Brichas Kohanim is created by the fact that I'm a Kohen, and I'm standing there, and I'm talking to you? It's only because I'm in the process of the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. So anyway, that's the question is, how do you define the end of the mitzvah for purposes of Baltosif?
But it almost sounds like if you were to put the fourth bracha in the middle, you know, between the
right, the Gemara said that for sure would be Baltosif, because
like,
for sure
it wouldn't be necessary, because it's still the time of the
But there was a Mishnah.
But I'm Osek in the middle of the mitzvah. I haven't finished that mitzvah. If I only do bracha one, bracha two, that won't count yet as Birchas Kohanim. I'll have to do the third one also. Until I've completed the mitzvah, I'm still Osek in it. And now any supplemental brachas I do, that's clear that that would be a Baltosif. The question is only the fourth one. Before what? Before I've walked away? Before... So the Gemara says, even as long as I'm still standing there, it's still considered potentially the Zman HaMitzvah. And then the Gemara says, possibly even the rest of the day also. In which case, like it's all day long, every day, it's still considered the Zman HaMitzvah. But, okay, but how to apply it, I don't know. But the Gemara says that it's enough to say that that's different from the situation of Sukkos, which is after the Zman altogether, there's no possibility of the Mitzvah of Sukkah after Sukkos. In which case, Rava might be able to claim that there's no possibility of Baltosif. And that's what rescues the person who's sleeping in the sukkah and Shemini Yetzeres from a violation of Baltosif, which otherwise he would be in violation of because of his policy of mitzvahs l'tzrichas kavana. Gemara says, hang on a second, not tamra. But how do you know that there's even a possibility to say that you can extend the mitzvah just because of other opportunities to do the mitzvah today? Gemara says, this not well, because I see this. What happens if I have a korban? And a korban needs a zrika saddam, and some korbanists need only one zrika on mizbeach, and some need two, and some need four. So let's go with four and one, for the sake of simplicity. So what if I have a korban that needs one zrika saddam on the mizbeach? So I do one, and I'm done. What if I need four? So I have to do all four, and then I'm done. So what happens if I have the blood of a korban that needs one zrika saddam, like a bechor? Like bechor, maaser, pesach, these are all Matano achases, like is an Ezeo Mekoman, and it's mixed up in Chatas, which needs four Zerikos. What do I do with that blood? I have to go to Mizbeach and Mizorik, but some of the molecules are going to be from the Bechor, and some of them are going to be from a Chatas. So what do I do? So it says here like this. Well, let's say the mixture was only Hanitana b'Matano achas and Isarva b'Nitana b'Matano achas. What if it's just Bechor and Bechor, Bechor and Meiser? So then that's easy. And you assume that some of the molecules of the one korban will get thrown on the mizbeach, and some of the molecules of the other korban, and it's like, you're good. What if matan dalet be matan dalet? Same thing. What happens when I get some of the bechors together with the chathises? Matan dalet be matan achas. So Rabbi Lazar omer, yinosnu be matan dalet. And Rabbi Yoshua omer, yinosnu matan achas. Machlokas atanoim had to handle a situation where I have some dam that needs four zrikas and some needs one. Is it, do I do one or do I do four? Everybody agrees that I would be yotze even with one. Everybody agrees to that. But everybody also agrees that if I needed to do four, I have to do four. So Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is now debating with Rabbi Yeshua, what should be the right strategy when I have such a problem? So Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer, Hareyo Over al Baltigra. If you stop here, you're going to violate Baltigra with respect to your requirement of four Zerikos. Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua, Baltigra means you're not allowed to detract from the mitzvah. Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua says to him, well, you have the same problem in reverse, Hareyo Over al Baltosif. Well, according to you, if you're going to be putting four Zerikos for the korban of a Bechor, it's going to be Baltosif. Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer, no way. Lo Namar Baltosif, Elokish Uli Atzmo. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, that's not called Baltosif, because it's only Baltosif if I am doing the Hosafa on the object by itself.
There's no Iser Shalom Nisarvu, something like that?
Well, as it is, Amar Lo Rabbi Yehoshua, Rabbi Yehoshua says to him, well, I'm going to have the same policy for Baltigra, Lo Nemra Baltigra, Elokisha Ubiyatzmo. So that's only if the object is by itself, and I refuse to finish up the object. So that would also spare me. Same argument. I'm Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says, and besides, Kishalona Sata, if you just don't give this Rik Saddam of Artal Baltigra, but Velo Asisa Maisa, but you didn't actively do anything wrong. You did it Shevi Al Tasa. But Kishanasata Avarta Al Baltosif, but if you're going to do what you're doing, then your crime is going to be done Bekumvi Asay. And that's considered to be a bigger crime. When the crime is done, when you actively violate a thing where the Torah forbids you from doing, is different from your passive violation of Baltigra. This is Masav Yadecha. The Gemara says, V'ha'acha kiven di'oi v'lei matanam b'bechor avra le'lezimnei. Anyway, that was the end of the debate. But now the Gemara is stepping back and analyzing and say, you see, what's going on here is that after you finish the mitzvah, it's still baltosif to keep going, even though that's after the mitzvah. So why? The katani the avra misha baltosif, la mishum demina kimadi ilmis rami libuchara harina, hutter, mazemine, kuliyomazimne. Isn't it? Because you see that just because you finished with this mitzvah, but more bechoras are happening today, so we call it the whole day the Zman HaMitzvah, and therefore you're susceptible to Baltosif. So that will carry back to Birchas Kohanim, and it should also carry back to Sukkis. Not to Sukkis. It won't apply to Sukkis, because Sukkis, there is no possibility of the mitzvah of Sukkah, and that's Rava's defense. The Gemara anyway says, that might not be what's going on at all. It could be that Rabbi Yoshua holds that there's a Baltosif violation here because he doesn't accept your policy of no Baltosif after the mitzvah is over. Maybe Rabbi Yoshua holds that there potentially could be Baltosif even after the mitzvah is over, if you are doing a mitzvah after this man. Dilmakrasav Rabbi Yeshua, mitzvah is over, Leana Filish Lubizmanan. So the Gemara says, oh, that's true. He might hold that way, but that's not my point. My point is Rav Shemin Bar Abba. Rav Shemin Bar Abba, if you remember, was the one who raised the objection to the Kohen, to this policy of Baltosif, because of, how did Rava say, only Bizmanon? What happened? Rav Shemin Bar Abba says, what about the Kohanim and the Duchening? The Gemara says, well, why does Rav Shemin Bar Abba ask the Kasha only from that Braisa? Of the Duchening. My time alone Mosiv, given the Ilum Isramele Buchra Achrina, boy Mazamine Kuliamazimnehu. Hold on a minute. My time is Shavik Masnisen Mosimi Braisa. Lothimi Masnisen. Why couldn't he have proven that you were wrong from the Mishnah? Which Mishnah? From the Mishnah about the Karbanos, about the Hanitani Bimatana Bedalid Zerikos. The Gemara says, obviously, because he knows that the Karbanos case in the Beis Hamikdash, the Bechor, the Zrikas Hadam case, Lo Mosiv Kiven the Ilum Esrami Lebuchra Achrina Boi Ma'azamine, so Kul Yom Ezimnehu. So he understood that. So the Braisa Nami Kiven the Esrami Tzibur Achrina Had Mevorach Kul Yom Ezimnehu. So that was very obviously the policy that was in effect over here, and Rava was saying, and that's why I'm not bothered by either of these things, because they're all only going to apply while there's still a potential for a Kiyam HaMitzvah, but not Sukkah San Shmini. The Gemara said, Rav Shemin Bar Abba, incidentally, didn't he understand the difference? Rav Shemin Bar Abba says, no, they're not quite the same. The case of the Korbanos, you're required to do Zrikas Hadam, while you're not required to do Birchas Kohanim more than once a day. So in any case, the upshot of that piece is that Rava is still able to defend himself, and I think that that's the case. I think at this point Rava is safe. No, because Rava is going to have to defend himself next. We're considering Rava's defense not good enough. Not good enough. Ah, Rav Shemin Bar Abba was saying, oh, okay. Okay, this is what's going on. Rav Shemin Bar Abba's attack on Rava was, you can't go with the Zman Mitzvah thing, because the Duchening case shows that even after the Zman HaMitzvah is over, there's still potential for Baltosif. You can't tell me that the fact that there are other Kohanim, other Tziburim around, that it's still the Zman HaMitzvah, because you're not required to participate. So from your perspective as a Kohen, you don't have to do any more duchenings. So it's not the Zman Mitzvah for you, and nevertheless, you are going to be guilty of Baltosif if you continue to say another bracha. And therefore, Rava's argument that, well, that's because it's still the Zman Mitzvah, that's not a valid argument. And so therefore, Rava's policy of Mitzvah Sein Tzrichas Kavana will potentially create a Baltosif situation even without any awareness that the person is doing anything wrong. And Rav is going to have to defend himself in the next line. All right. Sorry it took so long. But car trip this morning. Do we have a minute? Yeah.